Welcome to this deep dive. In this lesson, we're exploring communication in online teams. If you've watched the overview, this will build on that. If not, you'll still be able to follow along. Now let's go further by exploring practical examples, future workplace relevance, responsible use, and how you can build confidence with this skill.
Yeah, and I'm really glad we're tackling this today because, you know, mastering this isn't just some nice bonus skill anymore. It really translates directly to better teamwork, stronger trust, and honestly, a huge professional advantage in the future workplace.
Right. It's definitely not a niche skill. But okay, let's unpack this a bit because I think on the surface, everyone knows how to type a message, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like you and I text all the time. Everyone listening to this probably fires off, you know, dozens of emails or chats every single day.
Yeah, constantly.
So isn't there like a massive difference between just sending messages and actual, you know, effective communication?
There is a huge difference because just sending a message, well, poor communication is actually one of the leading causes of delays and frustration.
Right.
It really degrades the quality of collaboration. When a project falls behind, we always want to look for technical glitches, but the reality is it's usually a breakdown in how we transmit intent.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's like, think about the last time a major project you were on just fell apart or maybe missed a big deadline.
Right.
I bet it wasn't because the software crashed.
Yeah.
Or, you know, lightning struck a server farm somewhere.
No, exactly. It usually dies quietly in some Slack thread where someone just thought, oh, I assumed you were handling that.
Yes. Oh my gosh, the assumed responsibility. So let's talk about the contrast there.
Yeah.
Because the stakes are actually pretty high.
They really are. When communication is poor, you get all this friction, right? Misunderstandings, bottlenecks, people doing the same work twice.
Yeah, totally.
But when you have strong communication, the operation is just smooth. You build trust, you have coordination, and most importantly, you have clarity.
Clarity. Which brings us to the core concepts here. The trifecta of effective online teamwork.
Yes, exactly. It comes down to clarity, which reduces confusion, professionalism, which strengthens the teamwork itself, and responsiveness, which improves coordination and accountability.
I'd sort of like to compare online teamwork to a digital nervous system.
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, because if a single message lacks clarity, or a reply lacks responsiveness, it's like a misfiring nerve. The entire body of the project just, it gets paralyzed by confusion.
What's fascinating here is how those three concepts actually interlock. Like you can't really have one without the others.
Right.
Because think about it, responsiveness without clarity just creates fast confusion.
Fast confusion, yes. Like replying in 2 seconds with, sounds good, when there were three different options presented.
Exactly. Which helps no one. And then professionalism, that's the glue.
Yeah.
It ensures that even when misunderstandings do happen, because, you know, they will, trust remains intact.
So let's natural transition from the why this matters to the how we actually do it. Because we all know Zoom is for video and Slack or Microsoft Teams is for chat. We don't need a tutorial on that.
Right. The tools are just tools. It's the practical actions that matter. Writing clear, concise messages, responding respectfully, and crucially, confirming important information.
Confirming information. So, okay, here's where it gets really interesting to me. How do we balance being concise on a platform like Slack with remaining respectful and professional?
Yeah, is the big tension, isn't it?
Yeah, because, I mean, if my boss sends a detailed project brief and I just reply with, like, hey, I'm going to feel like I'm getting fired, doesn't brevity sometimes come off as just flat-out rude?
It can. But we have to reframe what professionalism means in a digital space. True professionalism really means respecting your team's time.
Okay, respecting their time.
Right. So a clear, concise message on Microsoft Teams that confirms information is highly professional because it prevents delays later on. The K is bad because it lacks context.
Right, it's ambiguous. Does K mean I read it, I agree with it, I'm doing it?
Exactly. So what you want is to combine confirmation with an expectation. You confirm receipt. And you give a timeline.
Okay. So instead of K, it's more like, got it. I'll review this and have notes for you by Tuesday.
Yes. That is perfect. It confirms you got it, so the sender isn't anxious. It confirms what you're doing, and it sets a boundary.
It's like giving them a tracking number for a package.
Exactly like a tracking number. It's concise, but it's deeply professional because it manages expectations.
I love that. And when teams actually do this, the results are huge. Our material highlights this real-world case study of a student team that was just totally struggling.
Oh, right, the student project.
Yeah, they were missing deadlines, duplicating work, everyone was getting mad, and they completely turned their efficiency around, not by learning a new app, but by just establishing clear communication expectations and response timelines.
Yeah, and if we extrapolate that student case study into a future workplace scenario, imagine you're part of a globally distributed team. You've got people in Berlin, Tokyo, New York. You aren't in the same room. How do you prevent frustration?
You can't just walk over to their desk.
Exactly. You do exactly what that student team did. You establish explicit rules of engagement, things like response expectations, which platforms to use for what, meeting etiquette.
But wait, let me play devil's advocate for a second.
Sure.
Setting meeting etiquette for Zoom or, you know, clarity standards for Slack, doesn't that start to feel a bit like micromanaging?
I hear that a lot.
Like, if I have a rule book for how to type a message, do I really have autonomy?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it's not about micromanagement at all. Structure actually creates autonomy.
How so?
Well, think about a highway. The lines on the road, the speed limits, those are strict rules. But because everyone follows them, you have the autonomy to drive fast and safely.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Setting standards is just proactive coordination. It removes the guesswork so everyone can just work confidently.
So you aren't paralyzed wondering if a thumbs up emoji meant your project was approved or if it was just a casual hey.
Right. It frees up your brain.
Okay, but let's shift to the human element here. Yeah. Because behind every screen, there's a real person. And what does all this mean when tensions run high?
Yeah, that's where things get tricky.
Because digital distance makes it so easy to forget professionalism. People say things in a chat they would never say to someone's face.
It's true. The screen acts like a shield. And this is where professionalism becomes an ethical issue. It's about responsible use of technology.
Responsible use.
Right. Professional, respectful communication isn't just about being polite. It's ensuring that these digital spaces remain psychologically safe.
Psychologically safe. That connects directly to the recommended readings from today's lesson, actually.
Yes, the literature on this is fantastic.
Like Crucial Conversations. The whole premise there is managing difficult dialogues. When stakes are high, how do you handle it?
And in a digital environment, the author's concepts of silence and violence apply perfectly. When people feel threatened by a blunt email, they either retreat into silence.
Which is like ghosting the thread.
Right. Exactly. Or they move to violence, which in digital terms means sarcasm, passive-aggressive comments, or publicly CCing someone's boss.
Oh, the worst.
Both destroy the culture. And that ties into the other resource, the culture code.
Right. Building a respectful culture.
Fostering that culture is foundational to resolving misunderstandings. You have to create digital belonging cues.
Wait, what is a digital belonging cue? I know it is in person, like eye contact or nodding, but online?
Online, it's actively soliciting someone's opinion on a Zoom call or explicitly recognizing someone's contribution in a Slack channel. It's confirming receipt of their work so they feel seen.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is so practical.
Yeah. It's how you manage difficult dialogues before they even happen.
So let's pivot to what you, the listener, can actually do today to prepare for these digitally enabled futures. Because I want to challenge you with a couple of knowledge check questions from the material.
Oh, great idea.
First, ask yourself, why should teams establish communication expectations? And second, how does professionalism improve collaboration?
Those are the core questions.
Right. So let me throw a scenario at you. Let's say I'm a young professional. I've just joined a new digital team on Teams. And it is chaos.
Okay, very realistic.
Yeah, but I'm junior. How do I go about establishing these guidelines without sounding like I'm bossing everyone around? I can't just be like, all right, guys, time for new rules.
No, definitely don't do that. You start with your own personal habits.
Just my own?
Yeah. You model the behavior, consistently confirm important information when you receive it, set your own predictable response expectations.
So lead by example.
Exactly. When someone gives you a vague task, you ask clarifying questions to reduce confusion. Good communication is actually highly contagious. Contagious. I like that. So if I just keep saying, got it, I'll have this to you by 3 p.m., eventually other people start doing it too.
They really do. Because working with you feels so much easier. You naturally lower the anxiety of the group.
That is such a powerful takeaway. You don't need a management title to change the culture of a team.
Not at all.
Well, we've covered so much ground today, from the friction of pure text to the power of structured autonomy. So I want to leave you, our listener, with the core reflection prompt from the lesson to mull over.
It's a really good one.
It is. Just ask yourself, how can I improve the way I communicate in online teams?
And as you think about that, remember that mastering these skills now, whether you're wrangling a messy student project or starting an entry-level role, it builds your adaptability.
Right. It builds digital confidence.
Exactly. It's the confidence required for lifelong career success. Because teamwork today is perfectly encapsulated in that final resource we looked at, team of teams.
Yeah, where everything is networked and moving fast. Right. Top-down commands are too slow. You have to operate as a network of adaptable teams with shared consciousness. And you can't do that without mastering online communication.
You really can't. It is the foundation. So as we wrap up, we want to encourage you to stay curious, stay responsible, and stay future ready.
Yes, absolutely.
And be sure to review the end of module study guide and complete the workbook activities to really lock all of this in.
It really helps solidify the concepts.
We also want to make sure we acknowledge our reference materials for today's deep dive. We discuss Crucial Conversations by Carrie Patterson, Joseph Granny, Ron McMillan, and Al Switzler, published in 2002.
We also brought in The Culture Code by Daniel Coyle, which was published in 2018.
Right. And finally, Team of Teams by Stanley McChrystal, published in 2015. So thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive.
Yes, thank you. It's been a fantastic discussion.
We will see you on the next one.